from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we are hanging out with you until noon, and then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. We've been talking a lot about the Kings and what kind of the next steps are. Now that the Mike Brown extension is done, What does the rest of this offseason look like for the Kings? If you want to join the conversation, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Everybody's favorite segment with Mitch in New Jersey coming up shortly here on ESPN 1320. But we were talking about the kind of domino effect of adding a top flight player like a Brandon Ingram and putting him in the Kings rotation, and where he fits not only with the starters, but what that does for everybody else. And I think kind of the next steps is as the Kings build this roster out. And this is, I think, a different version of what I was trying to say a bit ago. But as they build this thing out,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see roles more acutely defined. Instead of going, hey, maybe Keegan will shoot it a bunch of times tonight, you're going to see a more like strictly defined role for Keegan. And sometimes he'll go out of those things and it's not going to be a night in, night out thing. But for the most part, you're going to see players in these very specific spots where it's not like we saw Mike Brown so much this year, just kind of toying with the rotation and toying with lineups and moving guys in and out and figuring out what guys are doing and what they're not. And I think as they add talent and as the rotation changes and solidifies, you're going to see players in very, very specific roles where it's not, we were talking about Sasha Vezenkov. He came up last segment and you might see Sasha playing more because he's going to hang out in the corner or hang out on the wing, and he's going to run and he's going to shoot threes. He's going to hustle. He's going to get some rebounds. He's going to cut. He's going to be there for 11 minutes a night. And that is just a very strict thing he's going to do. And I think having those defined roles is one of the things when we talk about Boston, when we talk about Denver, and we talk about all these players, they have a very specific thing they do, and they are not asked to do more, they are not asked to do less, they're not asked to go outside of their skill sets. It is, you are good at X, you are going to do X, because we have the roster that can sustain that.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest piece that you're talking about, roster sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you can't ask a player to be like Aaron Gordon if you don't have the other player that, you know, the Michael Porter Jr. next to him, you can't keep asking players to be something that they're not, or to cover some of the things that they just can't cover because they don't have whatever skill set that is.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find the other players that have those skill sets to put around the players that you already have, or you have to switch out players.
Yes.
So like, again, I keep saying this, but you can't ask Domantas Sabonis to all of a sudden, like, extend his wingspan by nope. 5 inches, and nope. next thing you know, he is a shot blocker. You can't ask that of him, because that's not who he is. But what you have to do is find the guy that you can put next to him for stints to cover that, to make mm-hmm. sure that he has somebody with him that can block shots. So if you have a team that just runs at the basket again and again and again, number one, have a defender on the perimeter that can slow down the run. Number two, put someone behind him that can block a shot that helps him out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so again, if you don't have a like De'Aaron Fox throughout his career has been, like, his 3-point percentage has been all over the place. He's been better, right? Mm-hmm. The last 3 years have been much, much better.
Mm-hmm.
But it still requires a really, really good shooting shooting guard, mm-hmm. like a strong 3-point shooting two guard, in order to really, like, maximize who Fox is.
Yeah, for sure.
Just like, it's the same thing with Malik Monk. You want to maximize Malik Monk, get him a rim runner.
Yep.
They can, like, that's why they brought in JaVale McGee, and yep. I didn't see anything wrong with bringing in JaVale McGee. It's just what you thought JaVale was and what he ended up being at this point in his career was two totally different things. But sure that's was. Okay. You still understood the concept of it. The concept is you got one of the best pick and roll, or the best pick and roll guard in the NBA
mm-hmm.
to go with the best pick and roll finisher in the NBA. Sometimes it worked out, sometimes it didn't. But sure. that's where you have to continue to find those pieces, but you have to find a pick and roll guy that might be able to hop out and hit a corner three.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you got to find these pieces that aren't easy to find, but you have to keep morphing your team until it all kind of works together.
That's what I'm interested when they're doing this, when they're doing draft stuff, draft prep, and they're doing talking trade ideas and free agency. I would love to know how much Mike Brown is looped into those things.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I don't know that there's a version of this that works where Mike Brown is, you know, watching film in the offseason and figuring out ways to make adjustments and different wrinkles they can throw offensively and defensively. And, hey, maybe he saw growth from this guy defensively and he's going to put more on his plate or whatever it is. Well, Monty McNair and the front office are looking at something entirely different.
Yeah.
That's I'd be really interested to know that, because I don't know how tight-knit that process is.
Yeah, I would say this. We're just two dudes on the radio talking about this stuff. Like, these guys do this professionally. Like, they should know exactly what this team needs. Mm-hmm. They should have the same basic concepts that we're talking about. Maybe their idea of what someone else can be is bigger than what we think it can be, all that mm-hmm. stuff. You know, maybe they think they already have their Christian Brown, right?
Sure.
Maybe they think that Colby Jones is that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so there's all these aspects to it that we only see what we see on the outside, mm-hmm. and they know more than we do about, like, potential trades and what it's going to take to do and that. And then also, like, I think at the end of the day, Mike almost needs to come in. He can give a wish list mm-hmm. of, hey, I need this type of player, this type of player, this type of player. These are, like, maybe he can even give them a sheet of paper that says, these are 6 players for each of these style that I wouldn't mind you going and getting. So I can't ask you to go get Naz Reid, but can I ask you to try to go get an Isaiah Stewart or Nick Richards or Brandon Clark or Jared Vanderbilt? Can you go get me one of these guys? Mm-hmm. I don't care where, but I need that type of player.
Yeah.
But then it's on Mike to almost walk in with a clear head and say, okay, this is the hand I'm dealt. Mm-hmm. How do I deal with this hand?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you have to go and do this. You can't, if you're a head coach, you can't sit there and once it's done, once free agency is done and trades are done, you can't sit there and pine for something different. Like, live in reality of what it is that you have and then do the best you can with what you're given. And if something proves out that it's not going to work down the road, then ask your front office to maybe go get that.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that they might not have the tools to go get it because they just spent 3 first round picks getting this big name player that you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I think the Kings have to, like, live in reality, but also mm-hmm. be aggressive and, like, somehow find a way to work, have a working relationship between the front office and the coaching staff that is meaningful and that they try to work with each other to not only build young players up that they may have spent some draft capital on or mm-hmm. whatever, but also, like, hey, I'm not getting this out of these 2 players. I need you to go get me that ingredient because I can't cook the right way without it.
Yeah, no doubt. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. It's time for everybody's favorite segment of the day. I have some thoughts on that, but I would like first to get to our buddy and good friend Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's going on, bud?
Kyle, James, how's everything? Looking good with you guys?
Yeah, had a good weekend. What do you got?
Yeah, of course, I love going to Home Depot, and I'm being sarcastic.
My man.
So you said about the Giants tournament, I think they were kind of holding the bat in their hands the last 3 years. You know, you got to say Harper, Nolan Arenado, Shohei Ohtani, yeah, and of course, Mr. Judge. So is going to be the next big thing, and I'm predicting they're going to miss in that. Hey, teams got to get themselves a third star. It seems like all these teams that win have like almost three superstars, two and a half.
Yeah.
I'm hoping maybe Valanciunas, re-sign Monk, go after my boy D'Anthony Melton. And if there's a second-round pick just for spite, I hope they get Bronny.
Perfect. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate you. Honestly, I'd be cool with the Valanciunas re-sign Monk. I don't know where D'Anthony Melton fits if they re-sign Malik Monk.
Yeah.
But again, that's all nice, and that probably firms up their playoff spot, but I don't think that's a team that's winning a title.
No, I would agree with you, but I can see a world in which like that Keon Ellis and D'Anthony Melton and Malik Monk can coexist with De'Aaron Fox, but it would not include
that's a lot of guards.
It wouldn't include Davion Mitchell, and it wouldn't include Kevin Huerter.
No,
so
definitely
unless
not.
Kevin Huerter is just playing the three and he's just like a 3-point shooting specialist at the small forward position. But again, if you're going to have Kevin Huerter as your three, as your backup three, and Sasha Vezenkov as your backup four, like what are we doing here? Like that's not going to, you can see it like right now. Like that you can't telegraph that. Like we're going to hit that one over the park. Like every team in the league is going to be like, oh, okay, this is where they went with their second unit.
Yeah.
We're just going to kill them.
Yes.
So.
Yep. No doubt. Caller, I see you on the line. Hang out there for us. We have to hit a break, but we'll get to you when you get back, and we'll get to any other calls when we get back. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. What's the biggest thing the Kings need to add this offseason? We'll keep talking about that, and we'll have good idea or bad idea coming up next as well on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Your call is coming up momentarily. But before we get to those, we got to get to good idea or bad idea. Three things happening in the news, and we decide whether those three things are good ideas or bad ideas. Someday I will be a good producer for this show, and I will get us an intro made. Caller, I see you on the line. Hang in there. We'll get to you in just a second. James, story number one. Just Caitlin Clark in general. Most recently, the Fever got thrashed by the New York Liberty last night, but they got a win on Saturday against the Chicago Sky. But Caitlin Clark during that game was body checked away from a play. And now this has just kind of become a story of the way Caitlin Clark is being played, the way she is being officiated. I want to get away from that, and I just want to talk about the concept of hard fouls against a hotshot rookie. Good idea or bad idea?
You know, I think it's coming across the wrong way. Like, I think there is something of a welcome to the WNBA or welcome to the NBA moment that you need, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we always talk about it, like, what is your welcome to the NBA moment?
Yeah.
Right? I don't understand, because at this point it looks petty and it looks like there's too much like weird jealousy over it.
Mm.
Like, yeah, she's getting a lot of buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get it. But then beat her at the game. You know,
yeah,
I don't think, yeah,
stink.
Well, they are, but I don't think that like just running up and giving her a body check. The one I saw yesterday, that I didn't think that was that serious.
The the one from the with Kennedy Carter in the Sky game, or did something happen?
I think
against
so.
New York?
Yeah, I think so. Like the chuck to the like to the side, the ribs. I didn't think that was extreme, but the hard fouls going to the rim where she's getting like clocked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we doing? Like, I'm not sure that, like, as long as it's within the frame of the game, play her tough, shut her down, take her away. That's fine.
Sure.
But I think at some point, like, for the betterment of the league, like, all of this is good for the league. What's happening here is good. Maybe there will be more expansion. Maybe there, like, the women's game is right now at a really, really strong point.
Yeah.
And they're almost at a tipping point where you could see the success finally right there on the horizon. Can you like make this into a league with 20 teams? Can you make it so first and second round picks don't make the team out of training camp because there's not enough roster spots? Like, it's brutal. The league needs more teams, but it also needs to be sustainable.
Yep.
And when you have someone come in the door that's going to help you with sustainability, don't just, you know, like body slam her to the ground. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, embrace it, but embrace it in your own way. It seems just a little short-sighted.
It feels like that teams are defending Caitlin Clark the way people for years wanted to see Steph Curry defended.
Yeah.
Where it's like, give this guy a hard foul. Like, oh my God, somebody hack him, somebody push him, somebody throw it out, somebody do something.
Someone
right?
knock that him was, to the floor.
Right, that was always, and it still is to a lesser extent, kind of the idea. I don't really have that much of a problem with it. It's not to the point where things are flagrant. If players are getting ejected every game because they're punching Caitlin Clark in the face, then okay.
Yeah.
But to me, like I think what's happening and the reason that there's so much discourse around this is because of A, the rise in popularity, but B, just Caitlin Clark's individual popularity.
Yes.
And you're getting so many people who are watching the WNBA for the first time and watching for her. And it doesn't help that her team stinks, first of all. Second of all, it doesn't help that anytime she gets a hard foul, nobody from her team gets in anybody's face.
Anybody. That's
nothing happens.
Yeah.
So there are issues that are going on there that go beyond the, treat Caitlin Clark nicer. Like, I don't buy into that discourse that I've seen. I just don't.
Yeah.
I think this is fine. I think this is kind of the maybe it's a little beyond run-of-the-mill, but she is also beyond a run-of-the-mill prospect. She's also very freaking good at basketball.
Mm-hmm.
She is putting up incredible numbers and doing things that, like, only one or two other people have done as rookies. I don't know. I don't have that much of a problem with it.
Yeah.
Number two. Justin Jefferson of the Minnesota Vikings got a four-year, $180 million contract. It has $110 million guaranteed. There was almost $89 million due at signing, making him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Good idea or bad idea for the Vikings?
Well, he's phenomenal.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I mean, retaining him is a good idea. What this is going to do for the market, I think it's almost better that they did this at the end. Mm-hmm. Right, there's only a couple of guys that are left, right? What Ayuk and CeeDee Lamb haven't got their extensions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's a bad idea for the 49ers and a bad idea for the Dallas Cowboys. But for Jefferson's skill level, the way he came into the league and defied all odds as a rookie and just put up these monster stats, like, he's incredible, and you got to keep him in the fold as long as you can.
He put up those monster stats as a rookie and then improved his numbers every single year after that.
Yeah, he's really, really good.
Last year had 1,000 yards and played 10 games.
Mm.
he is unbelievable. This is a great idea for the Vikings because they don't care about the wide receiver market.
Nope.
They don't give a damn what other teams are going to have to pay. But they have a rookie quarterback who is on a rookie contract for the next 4 years. So that's going to line up with this Jefferson deal. They are ostensibly paying... Instead of paying a quarterback right now, they are paying a wide receiver instead. And a really, really damn good one.
Oh, he's so good.
So this was the right move for the Vikings. And congrats to Justin Jefferson on that bag. That's crazy. Number three for me. With the other 49ers angle of that real quick is that Christian McCaffrey, who has not been at OTAs, and the speculation is that he wants more money after winning Offensive Player of the Year. He's going to go look and go, hey, you see Justin Jefferson won Offensive Player of the Year last year and then got a massive, massive raise? Like, let's talk about it. So that's the other angle of this. Number three, You had a story about somebody turning down pre-draft workouts?
Yeah, and now I can't find his name because we've been going through so many other things. There's already some murmurs out there that some of the player that, you know, we hear this every year that player X, player Y doesn't is turning down pre-draft workouts. I've never loved it. It's Holmes. It's Darren Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I drawing a blank? He's from a smaller school. Oh, Dayton. There we go. But like 6'10", 7 foot wingspan, shot 38% from three, 2.1 blocks per game, like 20-8, like really, really productive player.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN learned, according to sources, that he recently canceled several workouts, raising strong suspicions that he has secured a guarantee in the back part of the first round. I always hate it when players do this because a lot of those guarantees don't ever work out. And I will tell you that, like, there are so many players out there that I've heard, like, say, oh, yeah, I was told I was being drafted here, and then I didn't get drafted. I mean, CJ McCollum is one that, like, came in for three draft workouts, including one, like, 2 days before the draft in Sacramento. But also, Isaiah Thomas thought he was going number 30 to the Chicago Bulls, and he fell to number 60
in the
draft. Like, and you know who they drafted number 30?
No.
Jimmy Butler.
Wow. Well.
I mean, it worked out for him.
Yeah, it did.
For sure. But, that's why you don't say no to draft workouts.
Yeah, don't turn down a job interview.
Yeah.
Go take that interview because you just never know.
Yeah, the NBA is super small. There's only 450 players. They all get cycled. They're... Like we can
and you never
about.
Know, and you never know, you might interview with a team whose GM loves you, but they don't get a chance to draft you, and then you become a free agent, and now you have a team.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea.
I think it is as well.
Go to your pre-draft workouts, go to your pre-draft interviews. Don, thanks for hanging on the line. You are on the Insiders. What's going on, Don?
This is Big E, but I guess I could go by that.
Big E, what's up, dog? Sorry, our call screener just... botched it. What's up?
All good. But in the situation where the Kings do re-sign Malik Monk in free agency, would we happen to know how much salary that leaves us? Because I don't think this team's ever gone over the cap. And if there's not a lot left over, does that mean it's kind of do or die for Monty McNair to make a big trade? Thank you guys for taking my call.
Thanks, Biggie. Appreciate you.
Yeah, it's complicated. Like, if they give him $17.4 million, they're already at, I think, $152. It puts them right below the actual salary cap. And then the 13th pick in the draft is due $5 million, puts them over the cap. Mm-hmm. And that's without Alex Len. That's without JaVale McGee. That's without Kessler Edwards, which, aren't, like, huge pieces.
Yeah.
But I don't think it requires them to make a big move. Like, they still have expiring contracts of, you know, I don't know, Chris Duarte and Trey Lyles and Davion Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
And just right there, I just said $20 million in salary cap right there. Jeez. In salary that you can actually, each one of those players, you can get almost 200% for. So like up to $40 million. So they could go way over the cap.
Mm-hmm.
They could also not, they could like give away one of those guys for a second round pick or something and clear up space so they have money.
I'm fascinated to see that over the next couple of years. How much that tax line comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Especially that second apron is the devil.
Because I'll say, I believe that Vivek wants to win badly. And I think if there's a move that makes them a contender, that puts them over line, I very much think he would.
Yeah, I think he would too. It's got to be the right move for the right player.
Yeah.
And he's got to have everybody on board. Like, this is the right move. Let's push all our chips in.
Yep, no doubt. All right, we got... one more segment coming up. D'Lo, KC Day? I forget how they do this, but the handoff with D'Lo and KC coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll continue talking about the Kings offseason, and I want to talk about the NBA Finals too. Even though it didn't start till Thursday, we'll fit that in as well. On The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's James. I'm Kyle. D'Lo and Casey coming up at noon. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. I want to talk about Colby Jones. Somebody in the chat brought up Colby Jones. I don't want to talk about him. Here in a second, but some good news and some bad news throughout the world of sports today. Bad news.
Yeah.
Devastating news. Pro Football Hall of Famer, Dallas Cowboys legend, spent a couple of years with the 49ers, Larry Allen, died at age 52 while on vacation with his family in Mexico. I have not seen a cause of death yet. But he was a 2013 member of the 2013 Pro Football Hall of Fame class, a 7-time All-Pro, an 11-time Pro Bowler. He was a first-team All-Pro at three different positions.
Absolutely crazy.
That is insane. Larry Allen is the first offensive lineman I remember like knowing about. Like it was impossible to be a kid growing up watching football and not know who Big Larry Allen was.
Oh, yeah.
And then you hear the stories of him bench pressing 700 pounds and just and he was just a marvel, an athletic marvel in his time. And it's a bad loss for the football community.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Sonoma State grad, just like a road grader, like one of the best offensive linemen we've ever seen.
Yep.
And so just really, really sad, especially at 52, just absolutely horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So thoughts with his family and the Dallas Cowboys and the 49ers, as well, Larry Allen, dead at 52, in good news in the sports world, Alonzo Mourning, is cancer-free. He underwent surgery He was diagnosed with stage 3 prostate cancer. They found that it did not spread anywhere else. So he has had surgery and he is cancer free after that procedure, which is very good news for a Naismith Basketball Hall of Famer in Alonzo Mourning.
Yeah, he's a good dude. I actually, I believe it's the year after he was inducted, I actually got to meet him at All-Star Weekend.
Oh, cool.
Him and Hakeem both were there for the for Hall of Fame like induction stuff. Like the guys who were finalists were there. And, you know, he's a guy who's had all kinds of health problems in the past. You know, he had kidney problems because of all of the anti-inflammatories and stuff. And so I'm sure he's going to be an advocate for early detection and prostate exams and all that stuff, which is good. Like the world needs more advocacy from guys like this who might be able to reach different people.
Yeah.
And so like, I hope he's okay. Like it's tough. What he just went through and what his life is like now is going to be very different. But he always seemed like a very, very good dude, like when I was around him.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So good news for him. He talks about in this story, it was a routine screening, a routine check, and they caught it. He is now cancer-free. So like you said, good to have somebody of that ilk going out and advocating for something that every man 45 and older, it says, should be doing. So good news for Alonzo Mourning. All right, turning the page, literally.
Oh, we do have to turn a page, don't we?
No, we don't have to. I wrote a note down on the back of my my paper here. When we were talking about Kings team building and stuff earlier, I saw somebody in the chatty house, or several people in the chatty house, bring up Colby Jones. And he is a perfect example of he's a perfect vessel to talk about where the Kings roster needs to get. Because Colby Jones, in theory, could be a really valuable piece for the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
But also we have no idea because he has not played substantial NBA minutes yet. You like kind of what we saw. We liked, hey, yeah, there's some flashes here and some flashes there. But again, nothing substantial to say, hey, surefire rotation guy this year. You can't rely on him. You cannot go into the year, for me, you cannot go into this year going, hey, Colby Jones is going to be in the rotation. He's going to play some two, and he's just going to be in the guard rotation. However that shakes out. Again, it depends on Malik Monk and other stuff. But Colby Jones is going to be in the guard rotation. That's our solution. We think he can handle the ball. We think he can distribute. He can do all this stuff. And it's like, okay, that's great, but what if he can't? I'm there for Colby Jones having a bigger role if he plays his way into that during training camp and he makes all these strides and there's a place he fits. But I don't think you can go into this year going, oh yeah, no, we don't need that. No, Colby Jones is the guy. Yeah, he's definitely that. They need to be in a different spot roster wise.
Yeah, so the way that I would describe where Colby is at is kind of where coming into last season Keon Ellis was. Like, there might be an opportunity.
Sure.
But that opportunity is going to come because something else didn't work out first.
Yeah.
And again, I think I'm going to keep tying these two together because the Kings at this point, they need to see if Keon Ellis is that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to give him that much time. And what you're not going to do is keep peppering in another young player that could possibly, like, I don't want to say take away from what Keon's doing, but can shift focus. Like, if you have two guys on the court that no one is fully, like, game planning for at all, that means that they're just going to game plan for your other guys.
Right, exactly.
And it takes away what other guys can do. So for right now, the first thing for Colby that would be great for him is if Keon Ellis proves that he's a legitimate starting shooting guard in the NBA.
Yeah, no doubt.
Whether that's for 18 minutes or 25 minutes or 32 minutes, we don't know. But he needs to prove that he can do that, right? Because then that will actually open a pathway for Colby to come in and be, he's more of a jack of all trades, like master of none player. And he plays a little bit like his hair's on fire. And I like his game a lot.
Yeah.
And I think even the Kings, like, they think that they might have found a ball player here, but might have found a ball player and found a ball player, two totally different things.
Mm-hmm.
first thing you have to do is if you have Monk back, you know you have your two shooting guards.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have Kevin Huerter. Mm-hmm. So you got three. So that makes, oh wait, you have Chris Forte. So now you got four. So that's how these things start to stack up. If Colby right. can play some one, that would add another element. But again, you still have Fox, you still have Davion,
mm-hmm.
You still have Malik Monk, who's going to play a lot of one.
There's so many guards.
Yeah, so it's complicated. It mm-hmm. is. And so I hope that they're able to figure out a world in where he fits, because I do think he has a skill set. But I also think that there's going to be a good chance that he bounces back and forth between Stockton and the main club again this season, and we'll have to prove that he's ready to be part of what's happening, and he can be a functioning member of the rotation, or at least a really solid backup in some certain situations.
Yeah, you'd like to have a roster where if there's an injury or something, you can have Colby Jones plug in, and there's enough supporting pieces around him where you can give him that runway to just go play.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I would even say, like, really, Keon Ellis, his pathway to minutes is much easier than Colby's, because it's very specific. He is a 3-and-D specialist. Like, that's who he is. When you have other players who are multi-tool, like, that's fine,
mm-hmm.
and you need those players for sure, mm-hmm. but it's easier to plug in a 3-and-D guy because now he fits with De'Aaron Fox. Oh, look, he fits right alongside Malik Monk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are, it just makes it easier with Colby. It's a little bit more like trying to find spots where he might be able to find some success.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I have NBA championship odds for the 2024-2025 season sitting in front of me.
Oh.
Via, what is this, Superbook Sports.
Mm.
Boston is your leader at 3-1.
Okay.
The best current odds to win the 2024-2025 NBA championship. Tied at number two, Denver and Oklahoma City at 9-1.
Mm.
At number three, two more West teams, Minnesota and Dallas, at 10-1.
Whew.
Then you get Milwaukee and Philly at 12-1. The Knicks at 14. We're going to go down. Phoenix and Miami have the same odds at 30-1.
Okay.
The Lakers are 25-1 because, of course, they are. Indiana, 40-1.
Mm.
If you had to bet on Indiana or the Lakers to win the finals next year, who would you bet on?
Indiana.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
But that's that's a money play. I mean, we all know that, right?
Yeah, no. That's the reason. The Lakers' odds are always going to be inflated by public money.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the case. The Sacramento Kings are tied with the Golden State Warriors, Cleveland Cavaliers, New Orleans Pelicans, Orlando Magic, and Houston Rockets at 50-1.
Okay. That sounds fair. Like, that's who you are today.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
who are you 3 weeks, 4 weeks from now? Who are you then?
Yeah.
And do the odds change? I mean, you can actually bet this right now.
Apparently.
Wow. Okay. I mean, that would be a tough bet to bet right now, not knowing if Malik Monk is going to be back and not knowing if, I mean, the Kings could look dramatically better or dramatically worse by the time we get to, like, July 10th.
I honestly think of all those teams at 50-1. Warriors, Cavs, Pels, Kings, Magic, and Rockets. I think the Magic are the team I'd bet on. Just when you start talking about players they could add, if they do wind up getting Malik Monk, Paolo Banchero takes a leap. The East is kind of weird because you're like an injury away from the Celtics being a little bit more mortal, although I wouldn't bet against the Celtics at all.
I wouldn't either.
But if you are picking one of those 50-1 teams, I don't like Cleveland. And the West is just going to be so tough. I don't buy Golden State. New Orleans is TBD. They're going to apparently trade Brandon Ingram, but for what? Houston, I'm not there yet with them. And then Sacramento has too many question marks for me. And like I said, in a really loaded... The West is four of the top five teams in odds. That's crazy.
They should be, and they were this last year. Like, they just look like a better... It's a better conference than the other one, and I don't even think it's remotely close.
Boston's just going to win the next, like, five titles, aren't they?
I don't think so.
We just got done with the whole, like, oh, the dynasty thing is over, and it's too much parity now, and then Boston's just going to go dominate for 3 years.
I don't know. You could say the same thing about the Nuggets. Like, it looked like the Nuggets could have a window where they were, like, three or four championships, and I'm not going to, like, knock them out of the realm of possibility as a title contender.
No, they're 9-1. They're tied with OKC.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really, really good team still, and and a team that probably can make some low budget moves because of who they are and because of the market, the free agent market, and who is available and how many of those players already have ties to them. Like that's a, like we talked about, like Bruce Brown, like if he's like, you know, I want to rebuild my value and go somewhere. If he doesn't get his option picked up at $23 million, okay, why would you not go back? You know they love you. You know that you're the missing link. You know that
you already got a bag for playing with them.
Yeah, and how much better would they look against Minnesota or Dallas with that type of defender on their roster?
With you that type of shot that. Creator.
Yeah, and even Torrey Craig. Like, you see Torrey Craig going, like, he's played there a bunch. Like, he might be a guy that goes, oh, I'll go back there, and, like, maybe they make a couple of budget moves that put them right back into like really, really high contention.
Yeah, if I was actually wagering and trying to make money, I wouldn't bet anything right now.
No.
Unless you thought there was some move coming for a team that was going to dramatically improve their odds. So maybe you would go look at one of those teams at 50 to 1. But to me, the one I really like is Dallas at 10 to 1. I think Dallas might just be in a spot where they're going to be... I think Luka's turning a little bit of a corner here. And I think he's always going to be kind of annoying to watch. But I think from a just production standpoint, I think he has found a groove where those role players that we were talking about earlier are going to be productive on a really, really consistent basis. And Dallas is going to be a really tough out.
I totally agree. I think Dallas is, like, now that he's arrived, like, how do they keep building this thing? And I would even say, too, They're on the books for $174.9 million next season, as far as salary, and they have Tim Hardaway Jr.'s $16.2 million salary that they can go play with. I think they're going to be able to add, and that's something like, you know, maybe Josh Green is better.
Tim Hardaway Jr., who's out of the rotation now, insane. It's time for the handoff. Damian Barling, D'Lo, and KC coming up at noon. I have the 2024-2025 NBA championship odds in front of me.
Okay.
The Sacramento Kings are in a bucket with the Warriors, Cavs, Pelicans, Magic, and Rockets at 50 to 1. Of those teams at 50 to 1, are the Kings the team you would bet on to win a title next year?
Give me, who was after the Warriors?
Cleveland.
Oh, goodness.
New Orleans?
Yeah, I don't like any of those teams at all. I don't.
Yeah, they're 50 to 1.
Like the Warriors, like the Warriors are, like, we know what it is. They're kind of just,
they're done
running out the clock.
They're there. Like, they're standing at half court.
But that's the thing. They're not bad. They're far from bad. They're just not.
They're not winning a title.
Yeah, they're not winning a title.
Yeah.
Cleveland. I don't know what Cleveland is. Cleveland's.
Who are they?
Out on Cleveland.
Cleveland's like. I mean, I don't mean to, like, they haven't hired anyone. Like, they're. Coaching requests are really confusing to me. I thought they were very much going in an entirely different direction than the names that have been tied to interviews for that job. So I don't understand what they're doing. So that's awful company, if I'm being honest with you. Like, that's terrible.
That's not
good at all. So to answer your original question, yeah, it'd probably be the Kings. If you made me pick a team out of that group, like, yeah, it'd probably be the Kings.
I took Orlando.
Oh, that's fine. Okay. Yeah, no, Orlando's. Yeah, Orlando's good. I do wonder if Orlando, you know, if they had a little bit of the Sacramento Kings three seed thing where, like, yeah, they're good. They're probably not that good, but they're good. The thing with them is, though, Paolo's not done. Paolo's ascending, and Paolo, you know, he's when you talk about dominant players potentially over the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah,
he's going to be up there with Wemby and some of these other guys that we talk about on the regular.
Yeah, he's really good.
I would
like Orlando. Like, they have a lot of money to spend, and how wise are they with that money? Mm-hmm. What are they able to add? I think you could make
hopefully
them,
D'Angelo, like, Russell.
Yeah, and Klay Thompson.
Get them both. Yeah, that's a good idea. Fine. Go get them both.
Pay all the money for both of them.
Yeah.
The thing that's scary with Paolo is he's as good as he is right now, and their offense is like, oh, get it to Paolo and get out of the way.
Yeah.
Like in a big spot, oh, it's him. He's just going to be the guy.
Yeah.
If they had a second shot creator like a D'Angelo Russell, that would be, I think you're looking at a really, really good team.
And I think the tough part for Paolo in that situation too is, and that's obviously a, be it, you know, D'Angelo or Malik. I don't think that's, I think Clay's role would be different there.
Yeah, no doubt.
But Paolo's got to learn to play with a second shot creator.
Yeah.
And that's true. Because he hasn't had one. And now it's like, okay, look, we've got something different for you. It's good, but you're probably going to have to adjust a little bit. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that'll make him even better, because he's one of those future guys.
Yeah. They really need
shooting. Who's really good right now.
They really need shooting to maximize him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's one of their problems. Yeah. They're 24th in the league in percentage, but 29th in attempts. Yeah. And you got to, that's why Klay Thompson makes sense. I mean, like realistically, Kevin Huerter would make sense there. Mm-hmm. Like, they need floor spacing so bad. I really like Suggs as like a defensive minded guy.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of that team, like, somebody's got to be able to stand out there and just hit an open three.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Hey, what do you make of all the Caitlin Clark stuff? I feel like the hard foul stuff is just getting way overblown.
You think it's getting overblown?
I feel, yeah. It feels like the discourse is trying to solve some world issue, and it's like, no.
there's a lot of layers to this.
Definitely.
The hard fouls aren't nothing. Like, she's being targeted. Like, mm-hmm. she's being bullied, and we, you know, for those who were with D'Lo and KC during the college season, last college season, we told you this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that we formulated that opinion blindly is silly. Like, I was pretty close to that league for over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't unusual behavior. It's just really, really high profile behavior. And I think it's difficult for Caitlin, because when you have other players who have come in, and you think of players like Diana Taurasi. Well, Diana came from UConn, so that's different. There's UConn players all over the place. Mm-hmm. You think of Candace Parker. I'm sorry, Candace Parker won two titles with Pat Summitt at the University of Tennessee. This is not the same thing. Sabrina Ionescu. Ah, okay. She had the Kobe rub.
Yeah.
You disrespect Sabrina, you're disrespecting Kobe Bryant. You weren't going to do that. So now you got this girl from Iowa who all eyes were on for multiple years, and you're seeing this growth in this league, and you know how history can be rewritten.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin entering the league, we're also seeing this massive growth in the WNBA at the same time. One doesn't necessarily have to do with the other. The league is getting substantially better. The attention around the league has been growing and growing and growing, and what I'm seeing is people starting to gather resentment for something that hasn't happened yet. They're starting to gather resentment for the idea that the reason that they're on charter flights is because of Caitlin Clark. That's not true,
right?
But the timing of everything will influence how history is rewritten later. Not now, but later. Then you have the weird dichotomy of all of these new fans coming in. All of these new people. And we'll spend some more time talking about this later. I'll spend some more time talking about this later. It's okay to be new to the league. It's okay to pick up on MLS soccer and go, you know, I just started watching because, you know, Messi went to Miami. And it's interesting. I don't have to pretend like I know everything about MLS for the last 20 years. You don't have to pretend like you know the entire history of the WNBA or what is good for the league because you started watching a month ago. And I'm seeing so many people pretend like that's true. The look on Stephen A. Smith's face when Monica McNutt called him out today was one of the all-time television moments, because arguably for the first time in the history of that dude's television show, he was stunned silent. Not because he was so offended by what Monica said, which is how we tried to pass it off, but because he had no retort to what she said about not talking about the league 4 years ago. He just stopped. Because he knew it was true. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. It's all right to get interested in the league today without having been interested in it yesterday. And the players have to recognize that. Tasha Cloud needs to recognize that. The league needs to recognize that. But I'll go back to a line that Cheryl Reeves said during the preseason when there was a hiccup with the streaming of a Lynx Sky game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this league is equipped right now to handle its own growth.
Mm.
Dang. D'Lo and KC coming up. Is that what you got? That's what you guys got coming up?
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot of this, and we'll talk Mike Brown, everything that happened on Friday. I say we. It's me. KC's out today. So now we'll have a good day, though.
Can't wait. D'Lo, no KC, coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center. Blue!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.